in the Word of God to Mark's gospel, Mark's account of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. All four of the gospel writers share the account of the resurrection of Jesus. The gospel meaning the death, burial, and resurrection. And each of the gospel writers focus in on the cross, what Jesus did there. And each one of them focus in on the empty tomb from a little bit different perspective. But this morning we want to look at Mark's account of the resurrection of our Lord, based on chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Mark records that when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they may go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early, on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, as we come before you this morning, may we be struck again with the wonder of you, our resurrected Lord. As we know that the tomb is empty, the victory has been won. And so, Father, we pray that in your living presence this morning, our hearts would be encouraged. Where the hope, where we may feel that our hope is dashed, that we have that hope restored. Where those stones that still may be holding us captive will be rolled away, and we are set free by the power of you, our risen Lord. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. For a church's Easter program one Easter morning, 5-year-old Billy was asked to recite Luke chapter 24, verse 6, which says, "He is not here, he is risen." I remember when I was a kid and have to do those recitations at Christmas time or Easter, and they'd give you these recitations you'd practice it and practice and practice it to get up in front of the church and say these couple lines. In this case, it is, "He is not here, he is risen." And I used to be so nervous to get up front and talk in front of people. And then I'd practice those lines. Well, I remember it. Well, little Billy practiced his heart out. And he practiced it over and over again. But when he stood up in front of the church, little Billy froze. And he couldn't remember what he was supposed to say. Could you imagine that? I mean, we can identify with that. And he couldn't remember what he was supposed to say. So the director leaned over to him and recited the verse into Billy's ear. So he reminded, and I used to do that with the kids when we had our plays if they needed it. And so Billy smiled. He had confidence now because the director reminded him of the words. And he grabbed the microphone confidently and proudly, and he said, "He is not here. He's in prison." And he had missed the point. In his anxiety, he missed the point. He was in prison, so he thought. But you know, that's what the women thought that morning as they were going to the tomb. Because what a difference one day can make. We know in the scripture that Jesus was crucified on Friday, and he paid that sacrifice for our sin, and the Sabbath was fast approaching. So they had to take Jesus' body down and rapidly put him in the tomb and bury him. And the next day on Saturday was the Sabbath. And because it was a Sabbath, the law prohibited them from going to the body or to do any kind of work. So all through that Sabbath day, Saturday, the hearts of the women, the disciples, the friends of Jesus were heavy. They thought their hope in Jesus had been dashed. The one they had put their faith and trust in was nailed to a cross. They didn't understand what was happening. The day was dark. Jesus had died and their hopes had died with him. And that whole Sabbath on that Saturday morning, that Saturday, was probably the longest day for the women, as they knew the next day they were going to go to the tomb to finish the job of preparing Jesus' body and give him a proper burial, because they had to bury him so quickly. So they were going to the tomb that Sunday morning, expecting to find Jesus in the grave. Their hearts were heavy, and just as that boy said, he's not here, he's in prison, that's where their hearts were. Their hearts were imprisoned by fear. Their hearts were imprisoned that they thought Jesus was dead. But when they arrived at the tomb, they found that the stone was rolled away, the grave was empty, and Jesus was gone. What a difference one day made. And today we celebrate that the resurrection of Jesus truly changed everything. And it changed all time. And that dawning and the coming of Easter morning brought about three changes that Mark records for us in his account of the story. And as we read, if you put all these accounts together, the women, when they got to the tomb, were wondering who was going to roll the stone away. They saw that the tomb was empty, and Mary Magdalene, who loved Jesus so well, went quickly running back to tell Peter and John. While she was telling Peter and John, an angel appeared and told the rest of the women that Jesus wasn't there. Mary comes back with Peter and John and says, they stole the body of Jesus. We don't know where he is. And Peter and John get to the grave. They look to try to figure out what happened. The women go on, and Mary stands beside the tomb weeping when Jesus appears to her. She thought first it was the gardener. And he appears to her and calls her name, and she knew Jesus was alive. The coming of Easter morning, the difference of the day, changed everything. And the first, what changed in their life was the dawn of hope. With the coming of Easter morning brought the dawn of hope for them and for us. Because Mark records, as the women were on their way to the tomb after sunrise, they asked each other, who will roll away the entrance to the tomb? It was a long day for those women on the Sabbath day. But now it was Sunday morning, just after sunrise, and they're on their way to the tomb. Their hearts were still heavy. As far as they knew, Jesus was still in the grave. As far as they knew, they still were without hope. But Sunday morning had come. It was the dawn of Resurrection Day. And with the dawn of Resurrection Day, Jesus had told them that you kill this body, kill me, and in 3 days later, when you destroy this temple, in 3 days later, it's going to rise again. But they had forgotten that, because the hope had been dashed. It died with them when Jesus died. And they were living in Saturday. But the good friends' news is Sunday morning has dawned, friends. And what did they expect to find when they got to the tomb? They were discussing to each other who was going to roll the stone away. What were they expecting to find in the grave? A dead body. They're expecting to find a dead Jesus. They were living in Saturday, and their hopes were dashed. But the good news, friend, is Sunday morning came. And with the dawn of Sunday morning, Jesus is alive. But so often, we as believers and as Christians today can live in Saturday. We serve a risen Savior. We have a Lord who is alive. We have a Lord who has conquered and is alive. And sometimes we just live like we have no hope. We're living in Saturday like our Lord is dead, but our Lord is alive. Amen? and hope has dawned with the coming of Easter. And our Lord is alive, so we shouldn't be living in Saturday anymore. Resurrection Day is here, and Sunday has dawned. Hope is born and is alive again. Our Lord is not dead. He's not in the grave. And with the dawn of hope, the stone was rolled away. The women, when they were on their tomb, were discussing on their way to each other, who's going to roll away the stone? And why was the stone placed there? Because we read in Matthew that the Jews, who, even though they didn't believe in Jesus, they took his word kind of seriously. And they knew that he had said that 3 days later he would rise. And so they went to Pilate and said, post guards at the tomb and seal the tomb and post guards there so that the disciples can't come and steal his body away and claim that he rose again. And so Pilate placed a stone over the tomb, put a Roman seal, and put guards there to guard it so that no one could come and steal the body. And so they knew that stone was there, and they were discussing it. Who's going to roll this big stone away? We're women. The guards are there. How are we going to move the stone away so we can anoint Jesus' body? Again, that's what they went there to anoint his dead body, thinking he was going to be in the grave. But when they got there, the stone was rolled away. And Mark mentions that the stone was very large. It couldn't have rolled away on its own, and we know from Matthew that an angel came and rolled it away. But that stone was rolled away. Hope dawned. So I ask you this morning, what stones do you need the Lord to roll away from your life? Again, sometimes we're living in that Saturday, realizing that we don't realize living like our Lord is alive, and we live with those stones in front of us. And what stones do you need the Lord to remove from your life this morning? Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's some sin. Maybe it's whatever those stones, their anger, resentment, bitterness, those stones that are holding us back. But our Lord has the power to roll those stones away. And what stone does he need to roll away from you today? Because our risen Lord is here to do that in his resurrection power. And when they got there, hope dawned, because when they got to the entrance of the tomb, they noticed the stone was rolled away. And it said they went in and they entered the tomb and it was empty. The stone had been rolled away, and they entered the tomb. They saw a young man sitting in a white robe, but they didn't see Jesus. And the tomb was empty. And they heard an angel, a message, he is not here. He has risen. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? They went there expecting to find Jesus dead. And the angel said, he isn't here. He's alive. The tomb is empty. You won't find someone who is alive in a graveyard, because that's not where someone who's alive lives. The graveyard's for those who are dead. But he said, why are you looking for a live person in a tomb? Because he's not here. He is alive. The grave is empty. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? It was a beautiful Easter Sunday morning, and a church was gathered outside on the country hillside to celebrate an early morning sunrise service. And as the first light of dawn broke over the horizon on that beautiful Easter Sunday morning, the congregation began to join together to sing hymns of praise. But as they sang, suddenly something unexpected happened on that morning. From a nearby farm, a rooster began to crow really, really loud. And the loud cries kept echoing out across the hillside. And at first, the congregation was taken back as they were trying to sing, and this rooster was crowing and interrupting them. But after a while, they couldn't help but smile. Because at that moment, they began to realize the significance of the rooster's crow on that Easter Sunday morning. Just as the rooster heralded the dawn of a new day, so Jesus' resurrection ushered in the dawn of hope and the dawning of the hope that the resurrection brings. And as the sun continued to rise that Easter morning, the congregation joined together in a chorus of praise, along with the rooster, and grateful for the dawning of resurrection morning and the hope that had dawned with the coming of our Lord who is alive. The tomb is empty. So why do we live in the graveyard? Why are we looking for the living among the dead? Our Lord is alive. It brought the dawn of hope. And with the dawn of hope also brings guilt being removed. Look at what in verse 7, the message to the angels, to the women. And Mark is the only one that mentions this. He says, but go and tell your disciples and what? And who? Peter. That he has gone ahead of you and there you will see him. If you read the other accounts of the Gospels, they said, go and tell his disciples that he is alive. Go to Galilee and you'll see him there. But Mark records that the angel particularly said, go and tell his disciples, but particularly tell Peter that I'm alive and he'll see me again. What do you think the Lord was telling? Why do you think he singled out Peter? The last time Peter saw Jesus, what did he do? He denied that he knew him three times. When Jesus needed him most, when he's on the trial. And I'm sure for those 3 days, think of the heaviness of Peter's heart, not only seeing Jesus on the cross dying, but bearing that guilt that he had of three times denying he even knew him. And he carried that guilt. But with the dawn of resurrection morning, the Lord says, tell Peter, I'm alive. It's okay. He's forgiven. Guilt is gone. Resurrection is here. Thank God. Aren't you thankful that the resurrection means our guilt is removed? That sin, Paul says, if Christ wasn't in the grave, if Christ was still dead, we would still be in our sin. Our preaching would be useless. We would have no hope. For all people, we'd be miserable and pitted of all. But Christ is indeed alive. With resurrection, what a difference a day made. Because with the dawning of resurrection day brought dawn of hope. And that hope lives and springs eternal in our heart. The women went to the tomb without hope. Their hearts down heavy. Their hearts burdened. Thinking their Lord was dead. But resurrection day brought that hope eternal and that hope new. Second, what a difference a day makes, because with resurrection morning brings a declaration of victory. That when the angel said, he is not here, you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified, but he is not here. He has risen just as he said he would. Come and see the place where they laid him. It was a declaration of victory. That the victory was won, that our Lord's victory over death. That because he lives, we will live also. His resurrection took away the power and the sting of death. Death in the grave could no longer hold Jesus captive. It could not hold us captive. And when we lay a loved one in the grave, we know that that death has been defeated and we will be together with our Lord again. Because he lives, we live too. And that sting of death has been taken away. It says that Jesus is the first fruits of them that live, that because he is alive, we know that we will live also. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says this, beginning in verse 50. He says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Verse 54, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, through his resurrection, has defeated death, taken away its sting. And we know that we will be together with our Lord. It's also a declaration of victory over Satan, our enemy, who back in when he opposed God back in eternity past and exalted himself up as God and started that war and wanted to be greater than God, God cast him down. And he had been in war with God ever since. And after the fall, when he tempted Adam and Eve to sin and brought sin into all mankind, God made that prophecy and said to the serpent, he said, you will strike at his heel someday, which was a picture of the crucifixion. He said, you will strike at his heel, but he is going to crush your head. And that is the death blow. Striking at a heel hurts. And when Jesus was put on the cross, that was painful. It was suffering. But crushing the head is fatal. And at the resurrection of Jesus, when he rose again, he stomped on that certain serpent's head and crushed him and defeated and destroyed him. And his power is broken. He knows what's ahead of him. He knows that his doom is certain. He knows he has been defeated. And it is the resurrection of Christ that has done that. What a difference a day makes, because it is a declaration of victory. A declaration of victory over the grave, a declaration of our enemy, Satan. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, that Jesus took all the sin and put it on the cross and canceled the code against us and triumphed over the forces of darkness and triumphed over Satan with the cross and over with his own victory. And as a declaration of victory over sin, that because Jesus is alive, sin no longer holds power over us. Look what Paul says. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. We're Paul talking about the resurrection and the difference it makes in our life as believers and how we're to live as a result of it. Chapter 6, verse 4 of Romans says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, that in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we'll also live with him. And we know that since Christ has been raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Therefore, death no longer has mastery over him. And the death he died for sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus rose, we have the declaration of victory. Before Christ came, and before his sacrifice and resurrection, we, the power of sin, held its sway over us, and we could do nothing but sin. And before we were saved, we could do nothing but sin, but with the power of God and the resurrection, we now are set free and can have victory over sin and can walk in newness of life. It's a declaration of victory. It's the dawn of hope. But third, what a difference a day makes, because the coming of resurrection day is a discarding of fear. That the fear that we have is discarded because the tomb is empty. The women, when they went to the grave that morning, they went in fear. They were afraid. But with the coming of resurrection and Jesus was alive, their fear was turned to joy. Because his presence is with us. And Jesus said, the angel said in verse 6, don't be alarmed or don't be afraid. You don't have to be, because Jesus is alive now. He's not here anymore. He is with us. Go and you'll see him. Our Lord is alive. We don't have to fear. We don't have to live in Saturday. But we are alive. He is alive and his presence is with us. We're told in John chapter 20, verses 19 to 20, that on resurrection day, after the account with Mary in the garden and she had seen Jesus alive, John said that the disciples were in the upper room, the room where they had the Last Supper with Jesus, and they were behind locked doors, it said, because of the fear of the Jews. They were afraid. They thought, well, they came for Jesus. They're going to come for us next. We're the next ones that are going to come after. And they had the doors locked. And they were afraid But it said Jesus appeared through and came through with the doors locked and spoke to them and said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here. Have peace. I'm with you." And the coming of the resurrection disbands the fear from our life, and perfect love casts out fear. And we don't have to be afraid anymore. The great hymn that Thelma played earlier that Gaithers wrote, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And life is worth the living because he lives." What a difference a day made. His peace, his presence, his power is with us. And a resurrected Lord is alive and in his presence. So as we look at the difference a day makes and apply this to our life, I ask you, are you still living in Saturday? Are we still living without hope as the women went to the tomb that day expecting to find Jesus in the grave, even though he was already alive? And do we, as believers, know that Jesus is alive, but we still live as if he's not? And we're still living in that Saturday without the hope, without the confidence, and without the assurance that we have knowing that we serve a Lord who's alive. And we live without that hope. But are you still living in Saturday? The dawn of Easter brought hope. So the good news of resurrection is that hope has dawned. Christ has won, and fear is gone. Amen? And that's what a difference a day makes. A day that changed everything. A day that changed the world for all time. And a day that changed us. That our Lord is alive. For Christ, the scripture says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. For he is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the resurrection of Jesus, that you, our Lord, are alive, and what a difference that has made. And Lord, for the times that we live in Saturday, and like the women at the tomb, we're expecting to find you there in the grave, discussing among ourselves who's going to move the stone away for us when the stone has been rolled away and you are alive. And so, Lord, those stones in our life that need to be rolled away, maybe fear, anxiety, doubt, depression, discouragement, those stones that are over the grave in our life holding back that hope, Lord, you have removed those stones and you are able to. So, Lord, roll those stones away from us. And, Lord, may we not live in Saturday, but realize that hope has dawned. Resurrection day is here. And the tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away. Sunday has come. Yes, Friday happened. The suffering happened. You paid the price. But Sunday has come and the grave is empty. The cross is empty and you are alive. And Lord, we have hope, we have joy, we have a reason to celebrate. And as believers, as Paul said, of all people, we have a reason to celebrate. And if you were not alive, we would have nothing. But so Lord, may we truly celebrate that resurrection life and live every day as a Lord's day, resurrection day, not living in the Saturday, but living in that Sunday. And thank you for the dawn of hope. And the victory that you have won and the confidence we have that you have defeated our enemy, Satan. You have crushed his head. You have taken away the sting out of death. And we know that when we close our eyes here, we will be with you forever in your presence. And we thank you that you disband the fear from our life because we're not alone. No matter what we go through, we don't go through those things by ourselves. Your presence is with us. Your peace sustains us. Your peace that is abiding and lasting. So we thank you for the power of the resurrection. We thank you for dying on the cross, paying the price, but rising again and living and ever interceding for us in heaven until the day that we will be with you. To you and you alone be all the glory, our risen, conquering King. And we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name, our risen Lord, we pray. Amen.